Chapter 3, the title of our thoughts tonight, Vengeance Against Haman the Proud.
Dr. James Smith writes, "It has been said that pride destroys or misleads more souls than deliberate wickedness. Pride, me, myself, and I." And I tell you what, selfishness is a major problem in our society today. But it's nothing new. Satan, Lucifer at that time, was selfish. He wanted his will over God's will. And oftentimes there is a battle that goes on of wills. Anyways, the history of Haman is a verification of that saying found in Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you have no desire to send someone to hell, but that you have provided a way of salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thank you, Lord, for all that you provide for us day by day. Give us strength and encouragement. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. The name Haman means magnificent. But his checkered career proves that his nature was shameful and dishonorable. We see Haman first in Esther chapter 3, verse 1, as he is promoted. He is promoted. And it says, "After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him." He was promoted, and I can say this, to whom much is given, much is expected. You know, as Americans, we have been given much, and much is expected of us. Number two, in Esther chapter 3, verse 5, we find that he was easily offended. He was easily offended. It says in verse 5, "And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath." He was easily offended. In Esther chapter 5, verse 11, Esther 5 and verse 11, he was boastful. He was boastful. You know, there are times in which we like it when someone will pat us on the back. Would you agree with that statement? That it's nice to have someone remember that we did something, and it feels good as they pat us on the back. Well, we find that Haman had no problem with patting himself on the back. And in verse 11 it says, "And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king." So we find that Haman was promoted. He was easily offended. He was boastful. He was boastful. We find that he was revengeful. Revengeful. Esther chapter 5 and verse 14. "Then said Zareth his wife and all his friends unto him, Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. And tomorrow speak unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made." He was revengeful. He didn't like the fact that Mordecai would not bow down to him. He was self-confident. You know, there's nothing wrong with self-confidence, but sometimes it can get us into problems. In Esther chapter 6 and verse 6. "So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? He was self-confident. He thought, I'm the best and everybody should know it. Self-confident. Well, then he became disappointed. You know, sometimes when you put yourself up on a pedestal, there's only one way to go, right? Yes. Chapter 6, verse 10. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. We find that he was very disappointed. He thought he was going to be the one led around on the horse, right? He thought he was the one that was going to get to wear the royal crown and the royal apparel. And boy, it was his enemy. God does have a sense of humor, doesn't he? I think that's marvelous. But he was doomed. He was doomed. Esther chapter 7 and verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. From victims to victors. Let's begin reading now verse 10 of chapter 7. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. So you understand that the king didn't realize that they were both Jews, and maybe not even that they were related. But now all is known. In verse 2, and the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. Do you think that was very bothersome to Haman as he's being led out of the queen's apartment and they're going to take him to be hanged, that the king reached over and he took the ring off his hand? I think that that was the final thing that made him realize this is not a good day. No. And he took that ring and took it and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Now notice verse 3. And Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Let me ask you a question. What vegetable lets you know it is displeased or displeased when it's being attacked? What vegetable lets you know it's displeased when you are attacking it? Nope. When I tell you, you're going to say, oh yeah. What did someone say? Onions. Do you know that onions don't smell until you cut them? Until you bruise them. Until you rip into them. That's when they let you know, I'm not happy about this. I'm going to tell you this. Esther was not happy with what was happening. She wasn't happy. Esther comes once again before her husband, the king, asking for deliverance of her people. Verse 6 says, for how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? She understands that though Haman has now been hanged, and though the decree has been known to be what it is of destroying her people, it's still the law. It's still the law, and unless something happens, all her people are going to be destroyed. And she says, how can I endure it? You know, we sometimes have in our own lives something that is just terrible, and it's hard for us to endure. Esther was given Haman's property and wealth, though the king would have had every right to keep it for himself. But this gift was probably the king's way of atoning for his foolish decisions that had brought so much pain to Esther and to her people. You know, what good was that property when all was said and done? But this would have meant nothing to her if the Jews were still to become the targets of attack. I mean, the law was on a certain day in March coming up that they would be attacked and that they could be easily destroyed. Esther wanted her people protected from the evil of Haman. It was worthless, even though Haman was dead, if her people perished also. How can I endure this? You know, sometimes we wonder, how does the Lord put up with us? You ever ponder that? How does he put up with you? How does he put up with Paul Madonna? Go ahead and say amen. How does he put up with you? Now, how does he put up with people? When we curse his name, when we laugh about it, when we joke about it, when we reject the salvation that has been offered, it must break his heart. When people die and go to hell. You ever ponder someone who spends their life fully worshiping a certain deity their whole life only to wake up after death to realize there's no hope? That has to break the heart of God. He's long-suffering, not wanting any to perish. Beginning at verse 7. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies, the rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, in 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after the language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus's name, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by post on horseback, and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. We find what was going to happen is that they were going to be given the right to protect themselves before the day of attack that Haman had set up. The writing gave the Jews the right to protect themselves even in the taking the lives of women and children and to take the spoil. Though they did protect themselves, and some 75,000 people died who were prepared to slaughter the helpless Jews, the Jews did not kill women and children, nor did they take the spoil. But some 75,000 that were going to be coming against the Jews were destroyed. Mordecai's decree was in complete harmony with God's covenant with Abraham. We find this in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12, 3. So we find that it was in harmony with what he told Abraham. Isaac also would have agreed with Mordecai. For when Isaac blessed his son Jacob, he said, cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Genesis 27, 29. Can I ask you this? Do you think that is still in effect today?
Yes.
I think it is. I think one of the reasons America has been blessed through the years is because of their willingness to stand beside Israel and the Jews. We better hope that our current president feels that same way. In addition, God promised Moses in Exodus 23, 22, I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. We need to remember that the Jews are the apple of God's eye. He has prepared them a promised land that someday they will totally have. They only have a small portion of it now. There's much more that they will receive at a later date. Let us not forget the quotation of Dr. Vernon McGee. Quote, the Jew has attended the funeral of every one of the nations that tried to exterminate him. Unquote. Sometimes it appears that they have suffered greatly, and indeed they have, but they do come out the victor at the other end. Warren Wiersbe writes, it is one thing to write a liberating new edict, and quite another thing to get the message out to the people. Now, let's be honest about it. Today's technology makes it so that you can send mail and texts very quickly, right? And I think it's funny, I went up to the post office today in Hall Road to buy some stamps, and I walked in, I walked up to the woman behind the plexiglass. Where did all the plexiglass come from? And she's standing there on the other side, and I said, I need some stamps, and she says, we don't have any stamps. And I looked at her, I must have looked dumbfounded, and I said, are you telling me that the U.S. Post Office has no stamps? And she goes, we have no stamps. And I said, okay. I know what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, well, I'll go to Kroger and buy some there. But I didn't. I didn't want to do anything to hurt her feelings. I hope she's not watching tonight. But, you know, we have it very easy if we want to send something, right? But back then, they had to send everything either by horse or by camel, and people were sent out, and they had to take the mail. And they're all sent out. And as Wiersbe says, it's one thing to write the letter, but it's another thing to get the message to the people. Continuing, he says, Mordecai put the secretaries to work translating and copying the decree. And then he sent the couriers to carry the good news to the people in the various provinces of the empire. The couriers hastened because they were pressed on by the king's commandment. Another version translated, spurred on by the king's commandment, unquote. There was something that had to be delivered, and delivered quickly. I've told you the story how that one of the U.S. Air Force bombers was going over Poland, and they were dropping their bombs on a certain city. And as they were going over, the one plane opened its doors. What are they called? What are those doors called? Anyway, the doors that opened so you could drop the bombs. But when they opened the doors, they realized they were right above another plane. And so if they were to drop their bombs, it'd fall right on their plane. And so they had to go on. Everybody returned, and they still had a load of bombs. And so they had to come back. And as they're coming back, their plane is hit by shrapnel, and they went down. And they were captured by German forces, but the war had already ended. The war had already ended. They had dropped their bombs and now been captured and were put in a prison camp. and were there for a few days. If they had known in advance, they could have returned and never had to drop the bombs and never had to worry about it. You know, it's when you know something that's important, right? And see, someone as well said, the good news is only good news if it gets there in time. And folks, we live in a world where millions still have not been told. And I know that's a burden that we have as Bible-believing Baptists to send forth the gospel. But it's true. It's only good news if it gets there in time. And the couriers hastened because they were pressed on by the king's commandment. In conclusion, this chapter begins with Queen Esther in tears, but it ends with the Jews rejoicing and feasting. Let's begin reading at verse 15. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. Isn't it good to like purple? Yes, and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness with joy and honor. I can almost feel the excitement there in Shushan, the palace. I mean, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. We that know Christ as our Savior, we have that. We have light and gladness and joy and honor as we are called the sons and daughters of God. Verse 17, in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a what? Feast. This is what number feast? Eight. The eighth feast talked about in the book of Esther. And a good day. Now, what makes for a good day? Well, let's be honest about it. A good day is when nothing goes wrong, right? A good day is when you hear good news. A good day could be when you have been given something that you have wanted. And it was a good day. And the last phrase of verse 17. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Happiness of one kind or another's mentioned seven times in those verses we just read. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The God of hope. You know, a lot of people in our world today do not have hope. There are a lot of people in our world today that are looking to fill the void in their life that only God can fill. You remember as a child, you were given these things and you had to put the triangles in the right place and the circles in the right place and the pegs in the right place. You had to put them in the right place. In our spiritual lives, there is a void that only God can fill. And the world is trying to fill it with so many things. You know, one of the things we're realizing today is that marijuana has effects on people that are not good. Carbon monoxide problems is one of them. We find that people are constantly looking to be pleased and to be happy and to be entertained. But only God can bring true hope and true peace. The thing that made the difference was not the writing of the decree or even its distribution in the various provinces, writes Warren Wiersbe. The things that made the difference was the fact that the Jews believed the decree. It was their faith in Mordecai's word that changed their lives. They had hope, joy, and peace because they had faith in what the prime minister said. We can have hope, joy, and peace in what we read in the Word of God. I was reading a letter that was sent to us from the the Baptist International Missions Incorporated, BIMI group, with their Bible program, and thanking us for helping send forth the Word of God into a dark world. And what a blessing it is that we can do this. The last phrase in verse 17 is very interesting, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for fear of the Jews fell upon them. Have you ever been watching the Olympics, and the Americans are out of it, and other nations or people are playing for the gold crown, and you begin rooting for a certain person or team because you're hoping they do good? Yes, any of you? Okay. I mean, you may want the Swiss to win something, or the lowly Italians. They struggle winning any gold crown or gold medals, but yeah, you do root for them sometimes, don't you? You know, Madonna being Italian. Yes. But we find that at this point, the people realized, wow, the Jews were all going to be destroyed, and now they have liberation. They have now, the tables have been turned. Many Gentiles in the empire forsook their pagan religions and became Jewish proselytes. They saw what could be done by their God. Some believe this means that they sided with the Jews and were not ashamed to be identified with the Jews, even though the Jews had enemies. Remember when President Reagan was shot? Remember that? Wasn't that that was a dreadful day. And as President Reagan was being prepared for surgery, he jokingly said to the medical team, "I hope all of you are Republicans." One of the doctors replied, "Mr. President, today all of us are Republicans." You know, that's a good thing to know, right? But we find here that the Jews had been saved. Were they saved by Esther? Mordecai? The Lord saved them using Esther and Mordecai. God uses people who are willing to be used. It's just like that. It's one Saturday that I just mentioned earlier where we took the John and Romans and the tracks, and we passed them out through the whole city of Dearborn. And one family responded. Praise God for the one family that responded. That may well have been the attitude of many of the people in the Persian Empire when Mordecai's edict was published. Today, all of us are Jews. Ponder the words of the evangelist Billy Sunday. If you have no joy in your faith, there's a leak in your Christianity. Quote, if you have no joy in your faith. You know, there are a lot of people that come to church and they have no joy. They can't wait for the church service to start so it can end. They can't wait to be out of the building. Some of you may remember we had a family here that they never got to church before the church service started. They always came in the first or second song, and they were always the first ones out. And I thought to myself many times, how can you have any friendship with the people here at the church? How can you have any joy? If you need joy. There's a leak in your Christianity. If Christian believers today manifested more of the joy of the Lord, perhaps those outside the faith would be attracted to the church and be willing to consider the message of the gospel. Do you share the joy of the Lord? Let me ask you, do your family members know that you're glad that you are a born-again believer? Do those people you work with know that you are glad that the Lord is your Savior? Do your neighbors know that you attend a Bible-believing church? They may never speak to you again, but do they know? If you have no joy in your faith, there's a leak in your Christianity. Shall we pray? We thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for the salvation that you give us, the joy that we can have, or the hope of eternal life. Bless this time, Lord, that we've just had. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.